Please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We will have our fellowship luncheon directly following this service, and everyone is invited for good food and fellowship. Following the luncheon, there will be a service at 2 o'clock at Pacific Hills Manor, but please note in your bulletin that all other activities are normally scheduled for Sunday afternoon are canceled. And also refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday. I want to remind you of the collection of clothing sponsored by Voice of the Martyrs. And if you need some information on that, please see Mary Tomlinson or Helen Minnick. There will be a deacons meeting after the luncheon today at 1:15 in the afternoon. Our scripture reading for this month is printed in your bulletin, and it's from Psalm 22, verse 23. You that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him, and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, beginning with hymn number 44. But first, we are pleased to hear from our chief financial officer and also the treasurer, Jack Kazanjian. And Jack, if you will give us the information today.
Thank you, Joe. Praise the Lord. I can't have the enthusiastic voice that Chris McCann has, but this is as close as I can get. Bethel Baptist Church now owns 1.444 acres on 260 Vineyard Court in Morgan Hill. So now we can praise the Lord for our blessings and pray to the Lord that we can sell this place. That's the next big step. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
All right, now the first and last stanzas of the first hymn this morning. Let us begin our worship with hymn number 44, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Thank you.
let us continue our worship with hymn number 454, What a Wonderful Savior. Hymn number 230, Saved, Saved.
Please remain standing for prayer. Father, we just complete our adoration and praise to you together in harmony as a church body. And we have no enough words how to say thank you for that beautiful salvation you have given to us. Now, as a church body, we pray that today, not only our spirit will be lifted up, but also as we proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus, someone here in the auditorium, there in the airways of Radio KKNC, or in the airways of the internet across the land, you will be honored and be merciful and gracious to save someone where the conviction of God will touch their heart. As a church body, we always have needs, especially personal needs. Loretta Forrest, our giant in bed for a long time with cancer. Her spirit is not in bed. She preaches from her bed. Thank you, Lord. Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica, as they listen to our broadcast, bless Jerry with health and Mary. We pray for Ann Pareto for his strength, Donald McDowell, Dr. McCormack, my wife Raquel, Dana Noriel here with us today after an unexpected thing in life. Lord, we don't know what the next minute will bring to our life, but one thing we know, you are with us. And we are glad to have Dana with us because it could be worse. Thank you, Lord, that we enjoy her presence. Lord, as we look upon the news, we see some Christian Korean people in Afghanistan. The pastor of this group has been killed by the revolt in Afghanistan. And we pray for the rest of the people, that in mercy you will exercise your power to overrule them and free them from these people. Lord, as our chairman of the board and chief officer has said to us, we own the property 4 blocks from here. And in the same way that you brought the money to buy the property, you are bringing someone somewhere to buy us. And there are few of them talking to our broker. And so, Lord, we pray that when that happens, will be to your glory. I thank you for all of those who work diligently and hard to get the property. It was not easy. And the price was just down so that we can purchase. Thank you for the committee that worked in that way. And Lord, there is another committee working on the project, on the new project. And we pray that they will have the ability to discern. We pray for our architect, Vern Delgatti, that he may understand that we will not spend one more penny of what we have. So that we do what we can, because that's what you provide. And so the project is coming along well, and one day it's going to be in the hands of all the people here, and the permits, and the city will approve, and all the details. It is a long way, but it is a way that we are doing the things together. Help us to inform your congregation well so that they know that we are doing this together. And Lord, we thank you for our missionaries. Fred and Carol Lewis in Los Angeles. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, now in deputation here in California. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Central America. Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines, as they soon will leave back to Iquitos in the Amazon River. Dr. Rabines will again perform his ministry as a dentist and then as an evangelist. Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica, Central America. A good engineer to coordinate the church there. And then locally, Father, we pray for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey for the ministry of the auto sport. And Father Danny today is right there in the middle of the race, right here, 20 miles from here, and he has been there from Thursday. We pray for wisdom and strength as he develops his life among these car races. Thank you for having Miriam with me and having 6 people from Argentina. Alejandro and his wife are here with the 4 children visiting Miriam and visiting the family. And it is always a joy to see them and to rejoice with them and the beauty of the relationship that you have created. The first institution you have created is family. And it is a joy to share our life together. Now, Lord, as we continue in the service, we thank you for the provision of your people because they love you, they give. So bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated.
Oh.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle to the Philippians. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1280. We will be reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, who writes the same things to you. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you always for the great work of salvation that can only come through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have united us with him by his blood, the blood of the new covenant. We thank you for such a great salvation that has put to our account his life and death and resurrection. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that we might know him personally. We can rejoice with the hymn writer in saying, Hallelujah, what a Savior. We pray that we would always respond to your love by our love, demonstrated by our obedience to his commands. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him and his teachings as he brings the great truths from your word. Give us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, give us ears to hear and understand that we may appreciate and rejoice in so great a salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you so much, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. And once again, I encourage you to turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Let us pray before receiving the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today. And let this spirit show us your way. In the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Few words there said this. That I may know him. And verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9, that word him is seen in a pronoun or in a noun, and that noun is Christ. And so Philippians 3 and verse 10 said that I may know Christ. Consequently, we have already two sermons on that sentence, that I may know him, Christ. And we focus our attention that I may know him as my mediator. Then we focus our attention in the powerful sentence of Paul, that I may know him as my Lord. Last Sunday. Now today, I have to close this because starting the next month, we're going to study in a book very few people read in the Bible, the book of Esther. And you're going to see the invisible hand of God in the book of Esther. And you're going to enjoy it. But I want to close with nothing less than Christ again. And so I'm going to speak to you that I may know him as my Savior. In order for you to understand that I may know him as my Savior, I will divide the exposition of God's Word in three sections as you have it outlined in your church bulletin. First, the testimony of the Scriptures about the need of a Savior. The testimony, the evidence provided by the Scripture that I need a Savior. Then secondly, the testimony of the Scriptures about the provision of the Savior. Who is providing that Savior? Where do I get it if I need it? Where did he come from? And then the testimony of the Scripture about those who believe in the Savior. Because there is not truth until that truth is practiced. You can memorize the Scripture, but if you do not practice the Scripture, then there is no truth that came through you. And that's how always I look in the Scripture. If God said this, is anybody in the history of the Bible that has practiced what God said? And so we're going to do so. Now, it's a lot of verses today, a lot of Scripture. And I will give you the page number in the Bible that is in the pew in case that you quickly want to do it. The reason that I don't flash the Scriptures here on the screen is that I want you to see it in your own Bible. Faith come by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And I want you to get used to flip your Bible and to look on it. It's nothing wrong if you don't know where the passage is. That's what I give you the page number. And so that I did that in radio for 29 years, and the people were very happy because they never had a Bible in their hand. And when they had the Bible, they were able to look in the Scripture. And you don't have to trust me any longer. You want to trust this precious book called the Bible. I'm just a voice for you. I know the authority. I know in the pinnacle. I hope you take me as one of you, equal with you. The only responsibility I have is I have to teach this book. And I study hard as I can, always imperfect, but hard as I can in the original language to bring to you God's Word. All right? Ready to work? Here we are, class. All right. Point number one. The testimony of the Scripture about the need of the Savior. Move your Bible to the book of Job, one book before the book of Psalm, chapter 25 and verse 4, page 623. The book of Job, one book before the book of Psalm, chapter 25 and verse 4. Job asked this question himself. Look at what he says. How then can man be justified with God? How can I be right with God? And then he asked the question, how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Remember Genesis 3, we study a lot, that when Adam and Eve sinned, even though Eve sinned first, God blamed Adam. And God's going to blame you, husband, if you allow your wife to sin. This is exactly what happened. After that, all the babies born in the universe were born with sin. The sin of disobedience to God. And so, the Bible informed to us and tell us in Job 25 in verse 4, that this is what happened. Now, after Adam's sin, what happened? Go your Bible to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24. Genesis chapter 3. Remember, Job said, how can he be clean? How can a man be clean that is born of a woman? And now here's the reason. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 and 24. First book of the Bible. First pages of the Bible. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God, boy, Jehovah Elohim, the whole power of the head, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So, he drew out the man, mankind, not the man male, but Adam, which is mankind. He drew mankind out of the place at the east of the Garden of Eden, and he put cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so, from that moment, from the moment that Adam and Eve have committed this sin, God put them out of their business, and mankind is without relationship with God, without a way to God. Let me show you in the New Testament the same story. Turn your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, page 1150. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verse 3 and verse 4. John chapter 3, verse 3. Remember, Jesus is talking to a doctor like me, Nicodemus, a doctor of the law. That's why I don't want you ever to call me doctor, because it means nothing. A doctor of the law. All right? And a lot of people want to say, I'm a doctor. What does that mean? Here is verse 3. Jesus, remember Nicodemus, he explained, you need to be born from above. And the guy is so smart. He's from Stanford, you know. And he said, how can a man, big man, be born in the womb of a woman again? He's in a Stanford degree. So Jesus answered, verse 3, and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, the King James said again, the original said from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless God initiate a contact with you, you cannot see God, period. Oh, you can be a medical doctor, you can be a super engineer, you can be a millionaire, you can be the best physiologist or physicist, you can be anything you want to, but out of yourself, there is no way that you can reach God. You can reach the moon, but you cannot reach God unless God initiated. Now, look in verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, mankind lost his relationship with God. He's physically alive. He's mentally alert. But mankind is spiritually dead. I repeat it. Mankind is physically alive. Mentally alert. Remember Adam? He hid himself. But he's spiritually dead. Mankind wants to reach God, but he cannot make it by his own. Mankind move on in progressive discovery of facts, as you look in history, and create mighty and powerful things in this universe that ultimately he uses for the wrong purpose. God allowed man to do surgery. God allowed man to discover the science, the highest peak to the moon. And man used it for the wrong purpose in creating bombs. Let me tell you this. Wealth degenerates into uncontrolled pleasure. More wealth people have, more uncontrolled pleasure they have. Power into uncontrolled measure. You give your president absolute power and he will degenerate. Mankind tries and tries and cannot find God. And because he cannot find God, mankind said, there is no God. Have you heard that? People said, how can you believe in God when there is no God? I said, how long do you try to look for him? He said, well, I know there is no God, but you look for him. He said, well, yeah, look at the moon and look at this, but you look for him. And they said, well, we did. Where? And they tell you in Zion, they say, no, God is here. It's not in Zion. Well, God can teach you science. You know, the earth, God said the earth is round in Isaiah. 5,000 years before Columbus discovered. So come on, don't tell me God's wrong. So my friend, if you are looking for God, perhaps you are looking on the wrong place. The testimony of the scripture tells us that we need a Savior because at the very beginning of life, we lost that relationship with God spiritually, and I need to get it back, and out of myself, I cannot get it, so God has to initiate it. That's the testimony of the scripture. Some people call that Calvinism. Isn't that ridiculous? Calvin lived in the year 1658. And he discovered that and he battled against the Roman Catholic Church telling, say, you cannot save people by sprinkling and getting an offering. And God has to save them. And now everybody who believes that, they call it Calvinism. What a ridiculous state. Point number two. The testimony of the scripture about the provision of a Savior. If I need somebody with God, if I need somebody who made peace with God, I actually need a lawyer. I actually need a lawyer that will take me into the presence of God. And I need a good lawyer that when he speaks, God will say, oh yeah, yeah, okay, you're alright. Your evidence are good. Okay, let's work together. Move your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 8, the provision of a Savior. First book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 8. Here's what the scripture says. And they heard, this is Adam and Eve, Miss Universe and Mr. Universe, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife went run down and said, God forgave us. No, look at what the Bible says. Clearly, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now move your eyes to verse 21, please. Saint chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coat of his skin and clothe them. What? What you have done, God? Now, if you have a ram in your home, and you want to make a coat for you out of the ram, what do you have to do with the ram? You have to kill it. Do you get the idea what God did? God is providing a covering for Adam and Eve, but the provision of that covering was not cheap. Somebody had to die so that they can get the covering. Move your Bible, please. Now to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, page 1227. Romans chapter 5. In verse 8, page 1227. And look what the Bible says. But God commendeth his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ talked to us. No, sir. Christ died for us. The Bible talks about the penalty of sin. It's awful for God. God cannot look into sin. The penalty is death. But there is one who died and was accepted in heaven. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So God was the initiator of providing somebody for me. Now, also, the salvation of God is typified by Abel's offering. Most of you know that chapter 4 of Genesis talks about Abel, all right, and Cain. So let's move our Bible to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. First, we know then that God typifies salvation by providing a covering over Adam and Eve. He killed. And we know that that's the price. Now let's talk about Abel. You know, there were two people, all right? Adam and Eve. Then comes Cain. He was a little rascal like Pastor Carol. And then Abel. He was so good. By my wife. All right? Very good. Good guy. A good guy. He listened to Daddy. Because they must talk. Say, you know, we were lost. And God killed. They never saw somebody dead. They never saw blood. And God healed and He covered us. And that's what God accepted. Now let's look in verse 4. Genesis 4:4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock, the first, the good things of the flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect or accepted unto Abel and to his offering. They too knew that there had to be an offering in order to be accepted by God. Both of them, Cain and Abel. But Cain said, I get the best of the best of the apples. I get the best of the best of the lettuce from Salinas. I get the best of the tomatoes. I get the best of the artichokes from Castro Bayo. I get the best of the best to God. And the best of the best of you is no good. You have to do what God said. Not what we want. God accepted Abel, typified by Abel's offering. God accepted Abel's offering because he did what God said. Buddha must be good. Muhammad must be good, but it's not what God offered. What God offered is the Lord Jesus. That's it. Now, also God typifies salvation, the provision of salvation, through the Passover, the blessed Passover. And I go over with you. People on radio, cheat the other guy and give me another 15 minutes. Now, here's what it is. Let's look in the book of Exodus. In chapter 12 and in verse 5. The typification of salvation in the Passover. Look at in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. When God is going to typify salvation through the Passover. Remember when they had to kill the lamb before they go out of exile. Exodus 12:6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and on the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Again, there was a demonstration that death needs to take place. Put one hand over there in Exodus, don't leave Exodus, and go to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 13 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Put one hand in Exodus and go to Revelation 13:8, and you look over there the provision of Christ. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world, before Adam and Eve sinned, God has provided salvation. Now only God can do that. Only God can do that. Look at it in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7. Go back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. In other words, you take the blood and you spread the blood so that when God passes, doesn't see you, see the blood. Now please, look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, page 1320. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, page 1320. And look at what Peter says about our salvation. Elect, he says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience and a sprinkling of the blood of Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. We have been saved because God spiritually have sprinkled the blood of Christ into our soul, and now when God sees Pastor Otero, he sees the blood of Christ in Pastor Otero, and so in you. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. All right? I don't have the time to go through the scriptures of John where Jesus said, unless you eat me. And the disciples said, what? Then he explained it in verse 63. He said, I'm speaking spiritually. And in the Lord's Supper, we have bread and we have the fruit of the vine. And then the bread symbolizes the body of Christ and the fruit of the vine, his blood. Blood, the Bible said in Leviticus 11, life is in the blood. So he symbolized his body. And so, therefore, here you have the provision of a Savior. It is no Buddha, it is no Mohammed. I don't care how good they were no good enough for God. The only person, and we are not discriminating, we just follow what God said. Now, you talk to somebody and the people do not want to talk in the Bible, you cannot talk anymore. You say, when you are willing to talk to me in the Bible, then I talk back to you. Because the Bible is the only one book that provides the information. All right? Now, here comes the place I want to be. The testimony of the scripture about those who believe. Pastor Otero, are you sure that some people believe this stuff as you say it? There were some people who believe what you said. Are you sure? Well, let's look on it. All right? The first one is Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. Let's look to Luke Gospel, chapter 1. Luke Gospel, chapter 1, please. You will enjoy this. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. Luke Gospel, chapter 1. And look with me, I have listed for you, verse 46 and 47. But I'm going to start reading from verse 41, because You're going to enjoy this. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth's cousins. All right? Hear this. Verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, Mary said, hi, how are you? The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What a great work of God. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. That's what Mary said. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now look, this is Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. Verse 46, please look into this. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit, verse 47, have rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary needs a Savior. She is not the provider of salvation. Jesus is. And Mary said to Jesus, please save me, Lord. So, Mary got saved that day. Go to John chapter 4, verse 42. Let's talk about the people from Samaria. You know, Samaria are the arch enemies of Israel. John 4:42. Let's see if these people get saved or not. And said unto the woman, remember Jesus and the woman in John chapter 4? And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because, the people were saying to the woman, she went to town and said, I found the Messiah, I found the Savior, it is great. She became a great speaker. The people came down and talked to Jesus directly, and the people said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. That's what you need to do. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It's time you see the word Christ as the word Messiah. When the Jews are speaking, the Greek put the word Christ, but the Hebrew word is Messiah. He said, I know by myself. I don't know what my mama believes. Some people say, are you a Christian? Yes, my mother is a Christian. What does this have to do with you? No, but my mother is a Christian. What does this have to do with you? You see, these people told the woman, you know, we hear you and we saw you, but now we talk to him and now we know by ourselves who is him. So the people of Samaria, archie enemies of Israel politically, became one spiritually because of Jesus. Now what about Peter? Go to Titus. Chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus on the right side of the Bible. Alright? Titus. Chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul. Look at the confession of Paul. Not Peter. Paul. Titus. Chapter 2 verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and what did he say? He did not say, your Savior. He said, our Savior. Our Savior, said the Scripture, Jesus Christ. You see it? Watch the personal pronouns in the Scripture with a magnifying glass. Because that tells you great truth. Our Savior. Paul said, I need a Savior and I found it in the Lord Jesus. Now please. Now let's talk about Peter. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. He is going to introduce himself in a second letter to Peter. Second letter. And he says to the church in 2 Peter 1 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained life precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God, again, what did he say? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Savior. So Peter needed a Savior. And he found it. So I'll give you the testimony of the Scripture about man, the testimony of the Scripture about the need of a Savior, and the testimony of the Scripture about the providing of the Savior. What's the conclusion? Two ways, conclusion. Usually I have one little nutshell text. But this is very delicate. After you hear me, you can go two ways. No new, it's in the Bible. So I want to show it here. Go to your Bible to the book of Acts. You know, Luke, John, Acts. Acts, and go with me to chapter 26 of the book of Acts. I'm going to read from the testimony of a king. Not a little guy, but a king. A king who knew prophecy. Alright? And Festus was a Roman governor and wanted to make a mockery of the Apostle Paul. As you know, the Apostle Paul gave him the Bible three times the testimony. Chapter 9 is one of them. The last one is chapter 26. After Paul gave the testimony in front of the courthouse with King Agrippa sitting over there, and King Agrippa was married to a believer Jewess, and then look in verse 26, what a great preacher. Look at what he says. For the king knoweth of these things. You know all about it. Before whom I also speak freely. I'm not afraid of anything. For I am persuaded, said Paul, that none of these things are hidden from him, For these things was not done in a corner. In other words, the death and resurrection of Christ was not something hiding in a cuckoo place. Everybody knew it. Now, look at verse 27. He's talking to a king. Imagine you're in court. I've been in court many times testifying for people as a psychologist and talking to the judges, and now you judge. Look at what he said in verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? I know you believe the prophet. I know you believe this stuff. But you have to believe this one too. You believe the Bible? Yes, I believe the Bible. But do you believe that Jesus died and was resurrected for you, King Agrippa? I know you believe the prophet. I know you know the scripture. I know you know this stuff. But you believe this one? People are like this. Some people are really against the scripture, but other people, no. People say, well, no, the Bible is good. It has some information. It's fantastic. But do you believe that Jesus resurrected? That's a hard thing to believe. That's right. It is impossible to believe unless God touched your heart. And look at what Paul says. Verse 28. And Paul said, do you believe it? Look at what Agrippa said. Agrippa said, almost. That persuades me to be a Christian. Almost! And some of you will leave this place saying, almost this guy was right. Some of you will turn off the radio and say, almost this guy was right. Some of you will switch the internet to another page and say, oh, almost this guy was so good. There are people like that. Now, you are in Acts 26. Go with me to Acts 17. Acts 17. Paul was preaching in Thessalonica in verse 10, Acts 17. Paul was preaching in Thessalonica and they almost killed him. And the Bible said, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jew. Verse 11. Now listen to this one. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received, doxomai, they took, they endorsed, they embraced the word with all readiness of mind. But, well, look at what they did. They searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. I want you to be one of these people. I want you to be one of these people who go home and said, I don't know if this is all right or it's not all right. I don't know if this is altogether okay, but one thing I know, I'm going to get a Bible, and it's free in this church. I get a Bible. I'm going to find out if this, that's what I print the outline. I'm going to find out if these pastors are right or wrong. That's the attitude you need to have. I'm going to find out if the scripture really said that Jesus is the Savior. And go, where do I start in Genesis? And go from there, where do I end in Revelation? So, I have to read the whole book for free. If it's Dead of Life, imagine you had surgery and the doctor said, you have to read this book before the surgery. You read it all together. Alright? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessings of the scripture. Thank you for the information of the scripture. Thank you for the warning of the scripture and for the offering of the scripture of these Jesus of ours. Oh, may the life of Jesus shine in the hearts of all of us. And may the presence of Christ be in the hearts of many who listen, radio or internet, later on in CD ministry and tape ministry. Father, that I may know him as my Savior. Lord, be gracious unto people. Let them search the scripture and let the Spirit of God lead them into the arms of our loving Savior. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. stand, please, for the benediction. I'd like you to know also that we have a fellowship luncheon after. And you, if you plan to stay, you are welcome. And it's a wonderful time together. And Pastor Greg will come and give the instructions for you for the food. Let's pray together. Now on to the King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.